have quorum. So I'm gonna call the
Have a good meeting, guys.
Thank you.
Thursday, March 2nd Law Enforcement Public Safety Committee meeting to order. I'll take a motion to approve the February 2nd minutes.
Motion.
All right, second. Legislator Ushetel?
Yep.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Super. Okay, resolutions. Resolution 105 established.
Just as a point of order, do we have a quorum right now?
There's three of us out of five.
That's it. Okay. All right, cool. Sorry.
Yeah, no problem. I learned how to count to three. That was about as good as I got. Resolution 105 establishing a capital project 658 ticketing and accident system. Motion to discuss.
Move it.
Second.
Yeah,
all right, any discussion? Do we want a little background from the sheriff?
Sure. So the New York State Police has what's called a track system. They have just went into a new records management system. And although they are still supporting tracks, when we reach out to them, there hasn't been the same type of support that we've had before. And so we see the writing on the wall. It's time to get our own system. About 80% of the local law enforcement uses LIRMS here in the county. This system, which is called Brazos, interacts. This is a ticketing and action report system. And I believe Legislator Pettit had asked a question regarding accidents and DPW with the guide rails and any issues with any county roads. There's two things that we can do with this. We can either give them access to the system, or we can submit a monthly report to them so they can get the fees from the insurance companies when these accidents occur. This is an updated and a better system that will integrate with our LIRM system, which is our records management, law enforcement records management system.
What do you do with the data? Like, what use do you have for the accident data? Like, do you use it just for, yeah?
Well, this is how, this is what keeps tracks of all the accidents in the county. It keeps tracks of every ticket that's given. Let's say, for example, you're in a town and you have a local ordinance that now you want to add, and you want us to, because there's no local police department, you want us to enforce it. Well, we can add that into this ticketing system and issue tickets. It tracks every traffic ticket that's given to anybody in the county and every law enforcement agency that has records management.
So maybe I'll ask the question different ways. Do you ever use the data or consider using the data to look at trends, if there's certain neighborhoods that have more accidents, there's more that kind of thing, besides the real-time use?
That's also part of the law enforcement task force and putting that data spreadsheet together that we're still working on, and we're going to put in the app that we have, as well as post it once a month. Yes, we are able to distinguish where most accidents occur. I'm sure the 911 folks who get most of the phone calls utilize the same system.
Cool. So. Yes.
If I can just speak on that topic, my understanding is this data set is going to include tickets that have been issued, but it's not necessarily going to include accidents for which there was no ticket issued.
It'll include accidents.
It'll include all accidents. So this is like every interaction that results in an MV-104 is going to be compiled in here.
It does the same thing that tracks does, but it integrates better with our law enforcement records management system.
Okay, because we've had conversations about making redacted MV-104 data available for the general public. I mean, there's an epidemic of traffic violence in our community. I think we all recognize that, and there is a call that
What do you mean by the public? What do you mean? Because, there's a certain fees and there's privacy issues and liabilities that we have to be concerned
about. And that's why I mentioned redacting the data in terms of the... I'll finish my statement. There is a major concern around traffic violence in my community that I'm hearing from right now. And I have folks that are asking about the availability of accident data so the public can see if there are trends. I know that we've had discussions about this. There are concerns, that I've heard from the planning department about, what exposing that data would do. But I'm very concerned about traffic violence. That's not really the direction I was kind of thinking this conversation would go in, but since it has come up, I just wanted to put my, you know, voice out there to call for more transparency around accidents and to call for us to approach things in, to find new ways to approach the epidemic of traffic violence, because I've got people in my district that are dying, it feels like, every couple of months. And so I'm very concerned about that, and I'd be remiss not to mention it in a conversation about accidents in the county.
Do you want to go ahead?
I just wanted to ask a question of clarification. Are you looking to share MV-104 accidents, so, or are you looking to share the number of accidents, personal injury, or property damage? Because MV-104 is only required if it's $1,000 damage or more, so it's not always required to have an action report. Right. But, you know, data regarding personal injury auto accident at this intersection or property damage auto accident on this roadway, I'm just trying to understand.
Yeah, I'm most concerned about personal injury. The property damage is not.
It sounds like a conversation we had a couple of years ago.
We've had this conversation before, yes.
Didn't we access the state's
I did.
I
did.
Gave you the password,
yes, and I've looked at it, and I, you know, that's a private data source. I mean, this is a conversation that in the Traffic Safety Board comes up every single month, which is how to get access to that data, because I think they feel like they're in the dark a little bit.
So I have a member assigned to the Traffic Safety Board. I'm sure he can arrange to have that information.
Yeah, I think there has been a lag because you got one of your members dropped
retired.
And retired. Yeah, exactly.
Can I just ask for clarification? So, I mean, it sounds like you're not necessarily looking for the very specific detail, but more aggregate information, like certain parts.
Yeah, I don't want people's names.
This is a Clinton, and that corner is a place that has had a higher level, or this community, or
I think the question is, like, once you're determining that there's a trend, you know, you're analyzing the data and saying, all right, we should do something about it. I think one of the concerns that was brought up about making this data public is if the public is analyzing it and coming to the conclusion that there are trends that we're not seeing, and then there are accidents there, that could open us up to liability for not having identified it, not having made the changes. Those are some of the concerns that I've heard when I have tried to advance the requests that I've heard from people in the public for more access to traffic data.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to bring up one point that the undersheriff brought up. There's City of Kingston, the state police, and the town of Sargis PD do not use our records management system, so they will not be using our Brazos system.
So when it comes to that, if you see in the report that I provide today, there's a heat map there, and that's just, you see it's a big red blob over the county of just Qualvine, right? So that's pulled out of the data analysis system through our CAD system, which every police department except for the City of Kingston and the Town of Saugerties is on, every EMS agency in the county is on, and every fire department agency is on, right? So through a data analysis and, you know, it's very superficial right now. We're working through the applications that we currently have, and there's other applications that Tyler has that we can look into to purchase and so on. But we can do data analysis, and we did this once for Rosendale already, and we looked at a certain intersection for them, and we provided them some data. You know, so it's something that we can look into and see. You know, we'd have to do some testing and see exactly what you're looking for and what those parameters would be to try to pull that data. But it's something that we could definitely, you know, look into more.
Thank you.
All right. Oh, yes. Legislator.
Thank you. I just want to briefly echo Legislator Ushatel's concerns. And but how much of the data really is private? I mean, if an accident happens in public, doesn't the press probably shows up and finds things out? Obviously, they're not going to find everything out, but they can talk to witnesses just like the police can and find things out. Isn't that the case? And like, what are our law enforcement agencies telling or able to tell the press, I guess, that the public would already know versus what other information are in these records?
So I, when it comes to law enforcement interactions and cases, severe accidents, I don't put anything on our social media, but if the press requests it, because it is public records, they submit a FOIL for it and we submit it to them. However, there'll be some information that won't be on there, like your social security number, like your date of birth, and not necessarily your address, because those are private stuff that may, with today's world of the stolen identity, would just make it easy for people to steal your identity, and that type of information is not going to be on there.
Okay, all in favor of Resolution 105?
Aye.
Any opposed? Nope. Unanimous. Resolution 107, approving an execution of contract amendment for 39408, the aggregate in excess of $50,000 for New York Communications Company with the sheriff. Motion to discuss.
Motion.
Second. Okay. Any discussion on this one?
This is the maintenance contract for the radio system that NYCOMCO has for the sheriff's office.
Great. This is county-owned radio equipment. That's what it says here. So it's not. It's rented.
Some is rented. Some is owned. But most of it is leased.
Yeah, I thought so.
The reason why it's leased, it's easier to upgrade because we own it. And we have to buy new ones again.
Yes, so we've been in that conversation many, 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 many times.
They do have a monopoly throughout the county, throughout New York, throughout this region.
All right. Anything else on 107? All in favor of 107?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Unanimous. 108, approving execution of the contract for $3.7 million with Prime Care for professional medical services and dental services and nursing services at the jail. Motion to discuss.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Okay. Discussion. I did ask a question. I don't know if it got to you. God, I am so tired. I'm sorry. The move to being able to expand the MAT services to people beyond the prescriptions. How is that reflected in here?
So this is the 1 year extension of the contract. This contract with Prime Care ends April of next year. So early next year, the county will put a committee together to put it out for bid, and usually there's someone from the Department of Mental Health, the Department of Health, someone from the Sheriff's Office, and someone from the County Exec's Office that sits on this committee when they put it out for bid. But this is just an extension, and it does include the MAT services, the counseling programs that are associated with MAT, as well as our on and off again COVID issues. It's basically our 24-hour clinic in our facility to take care of all the folks that are incarcerated.
And the enhanced MAT has been implemented, right?
It has. The only thing that's happened is that there was a CASAC that was hired, and she quit, so they're looking to hire another one.
All right. Okay. Great. Anything else with this? All right. All in favor of Resolution 108?
Aye.
Any opposed? Unanimous. Resolution 116, authorizing the chair of the legislature to execute a contract with Victim Services for Department of Probation. Motion to discuss. Second. All right. You came all this way. Is there anything you'd like to share about this that we get every single year?
It's a new contract. Okay. So the last one expired. So this is a new 3-year contract, which can be extended for two more years, hopefully. So, it's basically the main funding source.
Does anything ever change in their scope of work or in their expectations when you renew these?
I wasn't involved in the initial renewal. They have changed things over time, but generally we have several different grants. So some are sexual assault grants, and they're doing that. But this is the primary one, and I think it's generally there's been some minor things, but nothing major.
Okay.
And we just adapt to whatever it is that.
And does any of this integrate with IPPA? IPVA.
IPVI.
IPVI.
Yes.
I was going to get to the right.
I'm sure. I don't know exactly.
In terms of the victim services?
Yes. I mean, obviously, we use victim services for IPVI. To the extent that it supports that, it supports IPVI.
Got it.
Yeah, we have so many different grants, and I'm just starting to learn all the different ones. Yeah, understood. This is the big one.
I know the feeling. All right. Anyone else?
I just wanted to say that I it is becoming a process for me to always go through the backup for these types of resolutions, and I found a wonderful sheet in the backup, and I want to show it to everyone on the county executive's team. It has salaries for all of the people, right? This is a wonderful thing. I really like this. I'm not being sarcastic. I'm really stoked. This is what I want for every single contract that we have, so we actually know, like, what a crime victim counselor gets paid, and we could know that our entire county workforce is earning a living wage. We can know what they're earning. I brought this up last night in our health committee, and a lot of contracts still don't have this. So I know I've been working with Deputy Executive Contreras to kind of make sure that the spirit of Resolution 288 from 2022 is implemented in its intended form. If it was, we'd have one of these in every single contract, and I just wanted to point that out. This is something that the vendor provided, and I think it's really cool and could be a model for other contracts, so I wanted to point that out. Thank you.
All right. Anything else? All in favor of Resolution 116? Any opposed? Unanimous. Okay, I'm going to stick in old business in here. So, wanted to call out the amazing work that Legislator Hassett did.
And
Everett?
He did most of it. He
okay.
Did. Yeah.
I changed that to the amazing work that Everett did with maybe a tiny bit of help from Legislator Hassett. But just to remind people that this is to the legislators and others, but we passed a resolution in the county to have individuals who are fire and EMS, get access to state tax exemptions, and that in order for municipality level services for those volunteers to get it, each of those municipalities, schools, and other have to approve their own. So this actually, to the legislators, is a list of who's approved, who hasn't. So the idea would be that we reach out to our fellow legislators to reach out to their fellow municipalities to encourage them, and I'm just making sure you have Village of New Paltz, good, and school boards, so that this becomes available, because even though it's in the state level, each municipality has to have a resolution. We have like the draft form of a resolution.
I have them for the schools, I have them for the county, I have them for the towns, and I have them for the fire district.
Can you make sure we get a copy of that?
Yes.
And then that way when we push this on the legislators to go to their communities, that will be, we can add that as an attachment so that they have a nice easy job.
And since you compiled this information, I know that some more have come up for the vote. Have you heard of anybody that hasn't put it through?
I can, you know, my staff puts this together. It's not, you know, my work, but I can ask them to go through this again and get an updated sheet and try to get that to you.
Both my towns have put it through the school.
The school, and the fire district, and the town.
Yep.
So.
And Everett, if it says we'll follow county's lead, do they need to act further on that?
If they will follow county's lead, is they're waiting for the county to pass the resolution, and once they see the county do it, then they're going to follow.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's so irrelevant. Like,
yeah.
You don't need the county to do it in order to do it. Yeah. This is totally different people, but okay.
The biggest ones are the tax savings is through the school districts. I mean, that's where the majority of taxes is.
Okay, that's great. Maybe also a conversation with Chuck at BOCES to get the message out to the different...
Jonah? Dr. Corey's retired.
Oh, God.
Jonah Schenker.
Shows how much I've been paying attention. How long was that, like 2 years ago?
No. Only a couple months
ago. Oh, phew.
He did it over the winter.
So. Not so bad. So who is it now?
Jonah Schenker is the interim. So I'm happy to...
It'd be great to maybe... They have supervisor meetings to maybe get some time on one of their meetings, and then we can talk to them all at the same time and hand them the form. That'd be terrific. Okay, anything else?
It did come up at NYSAC about, again, doing more than one.
Yes, so the last I heard from FASNY Council, sent me an email. What was it here? So law, tax law 606E1 prohibits it. But from their understanding, the New York State Tax Department Budget Office are in favor of making that change for allowing it, based off of what the credit, they estimated participation to be much higher when the income tax credit was first enacted in 2008. So they have really no problem. They're in favor of it. So they think that it's going to pass this session.
And so Chelsea also did it. So that's good. Capture, recapture, we call it in research. So we'll probably, we can merge these two and get it as up to date as possible, because there might be people that Chelsea heard from that your person didn't get. Did you get a copy of this?
I did not.
Here.
Thank you. I can have Mike Gaffney put this spreadsheet together, so I can have him reach out to you. And
okay. That'd be great.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, maybe that before it goes to us to give to the other legislators, so that it's as up to date as possible. That would be great. Other old business, Snow Willing, Legislator Sperry and I are going over to the law enforcement, going over to the jail just to do a walk around outside to see what it actually looks like in terms of the capacity of doing something. We felt like before bringing people, we see if there's a there, you know, like if there's truly nothing, no place to do anything, then why grab all these people to assess it? So
when are you doing that?
Friday, if it doesn't snow on us too hard.
Tomorrow.
Sounds
so distant. I believe it's at 2:00.
Yes. But I think it's going to be a preliminary, and then if it looks like reason, we'll make it more expansive. Other old business before we move to new? Okay. New business, Sheriff?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to introduce our chief investigator. Last time you saw him was probably on a Zoom, and he was a chair last year. And that's Chief Investigator Luke Mason, and Corrections Officer George Hill, and the Professional Standards Division. We're just going to talk briefly about professional standards and our officer wellness program and the connections we've had and how many people we've helped so far. Chief.
Thank you, Sheriff. Thank you, Committee. Chairwoman Walter and committee members, I do need to express my gratitude for your ultimate approval of this position, and otherwise I would not be here today. I'd still be with District Attorney Dave Clyde, which I enjoy greatly. I know we're keeping kind of a short time here, but professional standards obviously is a very integral part in accountable, effective policing within the community, and how I see that objective is to maintain the integrity of the Ulster County Sheriff's Office, to ensure the greater purpose of safe policing in the community and trust from the community. There are eight different areas of responsibility that I think meet that objective for keeping the integrity of the Ulster County Sheriff's Office. Clearly, it's internal investigations, both external and internal complaints. Everything is looked at, everything is investigated. No one is exempt from that. That's our bulk work. With that is policy and procedure review and recommendations. I sit on a policy committee, one of four senior staff that are in the process of reviewing the policy and procedures. We are accredited agency, but we're still reviewing. Ultimately, we're seeing what the best practices is to ideally get that down to the training level and have officers become better officers so they're better out on the street. Background investigations, recruitment, recruiting and retention is also our responsibility, which is our huge areas that are the building blocks of a strong foundational organization. I can get into details about that. I'm also involved or responsible for EEOC. That is accessible for the employees of the sheriff's office and as the sheriff
is equal employment opportunity and compliance.
Thank you. Not just for the sheriff's office employees, but for countywide employees, that it will be a service accessible to them. Other responsibilities are FOIL requests that the sheriff mentioned, which are on the increase, 50A material that I'm also now responsible for providing to the district attorney's office.
50A disciplinary records.
Correct. I apologize. But the key thing, and why George Hill is here, is the officer wellness program, which is personally one of the very excited about. When we talk about all the police reform, this is an area that I think is gaining more and more focus on how to better reform police. We want healthy officers out there. If officers are healthy, they're going to police more effectively and be safer for the community. The sheriff's vision is to have a countywide officer wellness program, which is revolutionary. In fact, well, hand it over to George Hill, wears many hats, but he's been in this business and you guys all know him.
So I'll be heading up the wellness unit. What I'm actually looking at is at the police reform packages that have come out, and I look at what Congress has put out. I've also taken all those reports in, and I've seen nationwide what has been implemented and what has worked. So everything we're using is based off the data. And also, in turn, what has also already worked in Ulster County since 97, which is the Ulster County CISM team. So the CISM team reacts to critical incidents.
Say what CISM is.
Critical incident stress management. So say you have a situation involving an infant fatality. We have peers that are trained to actually go out, talk to the first responders, and then get them referral services. So that has been up and standing since 97. The program has been great. It works. So we're just going to model our wellness program after something that already works in Ulster County. So on that team, we have police, fire, EMS, dispatchers across the board. We're going to do the same thing with the wellness, which instead of just reacting to an incident, we're going to be proactively going out to the agencies and training 10% of their staff to be resiliency officers. This is all based off the FBI model and all the data we've captured, and we're just kind of running with it right now, 100 miles at the wall.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thanks. I have some questions. I don't know if other people do. So I assume when you mean wellness, you're referring to mental health wellness, or are you also including physical wellness?
Yeah, we're looking at emotional, mental, spiritual, social, the whole gambit. The FBI model is based off of that. It was originally created for the DOD in response to the suicide rates in the United States. They implemented the resiliency officer model, worked. They dropped them from 22 to 17. The FBI took that model and implemented it for law enforcement.
But not physical?
Yes, physical.
Physical health too?
Yes.
Okay.
Because they found out implementing a lot of these programs, they added physical into it. A common heart attack can cost an agency jurisdiction $400,000. So isn't it worth the money to invest into the physical well-being? Some agencies have, there's 1,000 different directions we can go with it, but yes, physical is added into it.
Others? Go ahead.
How do the officers know that those services are available?
So right now, since it started in the sheriff's office, we're doing a rollout. It's a day training. Right now we've completed the corrections division. This March we're going into the patrol division. It's a rollout to explain to them what the program is and how to actually engage in the program.
Thank you.
There's also a soon be a wellness app where you can go in and I don't know how many different kind of resources that you can access, like the physical, you know, there could be physical training, there could be a reference to a counselor to speak with, or the nutritional things. That will be accessible for all the first responders.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was just going to say thank you, first of all. And I don't think people realize, especially with your 911 call takers what they go through. I visited a couple of 911 centers, and along with that, I've heard actual calls, and it's pretty incredible. And just also road patrol, what you see, what you hear, and just thank you for what you're doing for your people.
What she said. I will say that I did publish a book. It has a whole chapter on law enforcement and health. So if you all buy it, I'll get 50 cents.
Maybe you should update it with this program.
I should. But, yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Really appreciate it. Other questions? Cool. Any other new business?
Just one last comment about the Cap Court. Mm-hmm. Meeting is Thursday, March 9th.
You're going to send that to me?
Yep. I just got it in a text message about 10 minutes ago. Let me just find a text message. Here you go. March the 7th, which is a Tuesday at 10 a.m. So it'll be the architect will be there, the some of the judges that are on the planning board for the town. I will be there, and anybody else that wants to appear to go over. There was a slew of questions that came from Albany relating to the centralized arraignment park court. And so we're going to meet there to review the questions. There was a blueprint that was submitted, but it was a draft. So we're just going to kind of look at that and answer some of the questions that Albany had. How they won't approve it until they look at it.
Is Delahan, is he going to be there?
No, all we're doing is getting together the answers to the questions that he has.
All right. Can you
on that email.
You sent, I have the questions also?
I will forward it to you.
Okay. Yeah. I want this done in 4 months.
4 months?
Yeah, please.
What do you need from Delahan?
Well, Delahan has to okay it.
Okay.
And that's a pain. He's being very difficult.
Yeah, nice call him on two other issues tomorrow.
So we want that sorted, and then we want it built and done.
Okay.
And then we want to move parole reporting into it. Go.
4 months.
4 months.
I'll make a call tomorrow.
Thank you.
Put it a third on my list of dates.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any other? Yes.
I just wanted to say that up at NYSAC, I attended a workshop called 858 Snow. It was Erie County's Unexpected Lifeline for Residents. That was the storm that took place over the Christmas holiday. And I will meet with the two of you at some point to just go over it. The line was created, 858 Snow, for non-emergency needs, such as there's a car that's broken down on such and such a street or whatever, and it turned into be a true lifeline for people. Things from dialysis, I'm stuck in my house, I have no baby formula, but it was a great presentation by their county executive, and they have, I think, 10 deputy county executives. They ended up being the team that took those phone calls. So it was very...
You hear that? So stop complaining.
10, huh?
Yeah.
No,
they took all the phone calls.
It was really a great presentation.
Erie's a little bigger.
Little. I think, was there, Vice Chair, to that point, I think, so we still have access to the 888 number from the... So that is what we did during the ice storm, is we stood up the hotline for exactly those non-emergency purposes. So I think rebranding it for those any type of situation in that sense is something that we can certainly do and stand up. We have the experience and the technology still to do it. Yeah.
They ended up having 40-plus fatalities in that storm that they were not expecting, and so it was very enlightening.
Love to hear more.
Yep.
Thank you. Anything else? I'll have a motion to adjourn. Second? You should tell. All in favor?
Aye. Sorry.
Thank you all for everything you do all the time.
30 seconds, you thought we were getting to a piece. I secretly sent in Lake Tahoe snow forecast.
Oh, yeah. Drop out everything out.
The storm shifting.
Yeah, because we're going to want to ask some questions.
Okay. Said he's going to look into it tomorrow.
It was something that kind of fell off in Mark's departure.
Okay.
It was like, here's this
did it actually happen the way that you guys intended, though, at
no,
any point?
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, it was going in that direction where I, after it was in committee, Mark was like, I need to see an example of like what the form is.
Right,
I literally took a, I took a state grant that I had applied for a couple of years ago, and I deleted all the content. Yeah, that's fine. I deleted all the content, and I sent him that template. So this is what it looks like, totally filled out. And I sent it to Mark, and like that's where the email thread ended, and then.